I really like how things have been playing out here today, because it really kind of goes right along with my message. And I think that's really what God wants us to do, is to choose. All right? He wants us to choose something. So we're going to be looking at that choice and here today. And again, I just really appreciate the time that we have in terms of the prayers and the requests and stuff and the praises we have, because we need to know, you know, how other Christians are struggling or how they're being elated, you know, because we go through those ups and downs all the time ourselves. And it's like we're not alone in this sort of thing. You know, we are a family. We're in a similar area, and we're all dealing with some issues, either with family, could be finances, it could be relationships, could be jobs, could be whatever. And the point is that we're here together to support one another, and we need to support one another. That's what Christians do. It's what God commands us to do, is to do that very thing. So this is one way that we can do that. So if you feel led in your heart to be able to do for something, for somebody that had spoken up here already, then do it. And there's that awkward silent moment where it's like, oh my gosh, maybe I should do something like that. Let your mind go, because if God's calling you to do something, do it. In order to share with it. It's really, really important for that to happen. And that's what we are supposed to be doing. All right, let's begin out with the word here. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is so full. It's life, really, as we start to read it and understand that it's not just a set of words and not a set of rules that we follow, but it's life that has been given to us. And we take these words, Lord, and we're sharing them here, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit allows people to hear what it is that you want us to hear. And each individual can hear what they need to hear. So, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, our ears, our eyes, and the things that we've done, the things that we're doing, to see if we're in alignment with your will, that we are doing what it is that you want us to do. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to begin in Old Testament, and then we're going to be moving into some Newer Testament here. But Proverbs is always a good place to start, especially when you're looking at making a choice. And the reason I say that is because Proverbs is one of those books where it has an unbelievable amount of wisdom crammed into 4 or 5 words. And if we could digest all of the book of Proverbs, I think it would kind of blow us back in terms of how does somebody know that much about living? Because there's just so much there. So we're going to take just 2 little verses in Proverbs 8, 10 and 11. It says, "Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." And that's wisdom when they're mentioning her. So, remember just a little bit I talked about the opals with the kids, is that some people, their treasure is trying to get rich. And it may not be an opal mine, but it might be a stock market mine. Or it might be an investment mine, or it might be a starting up business mine, or something that their people are getting into. What God is saying here is that His instruction will give you more than what gold or silver will do. Right? For a very temporary thing, you might have come up with a really thick pocket full of money, if you want to call it that sort of thing. But you know what? That dissolves over time. Right? And it just seems to disappear. But really, that God's instruction and His knowledge is eternal. And it really lasts forever and ever and ever. Why are we sometimes so stuck on the carnal things of this world when God is saying, don't worry about that. Right, I'll provide stuff for you. That's all right. But there's things that are greater than what's in this world that you need to know. And you know what God is saying? choose the greater. And this is like Proverbs and stuff. You probably, if Jane were here, and I know she's on Zoom and everything, you could take one verse and preach about that. Right? And this would probably be one of the ones that we would work on here and actually do this. It says that, right, that you can't even compare the two. And yet we can understand richness, we can understand monetary wealth and how much easier it might be to have the things we want to have. But God's saying that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make your relationship with your spouse any better. You know, there's rich people that are getting divorces. There's rich people that are having adulterous affairs and stuff like that. Well, if they're rich and they've got everything, why would they be doing that? Maybe they don't have everything. And they're missing something. They're trying to find well, that one thing that would give them the peace and to settle their hearts. And you know what they're not allowing in to their lives? God Himself, yeah, very much so. All right, so let's look at this here. The second one we've got, if it's going to work here, there it is, in Deuteronomy. This is, it's kind of funny when I was going through and looking for verses for this message here. You read through this stuff and then you just kind of like read through it and then you go on and you read through it and you go on. But when you kind of get this, This first line here kind of like hit me really hard. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 through 20 says this, "This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses." Just stop there for a moment. God has given you two paths to follow. One that ends in life, or it ends in death. And that same path could end in blessings or it could end in curses. Which one would you choose? I know it sounds silly, right? Everybody would just choose, I would choose life. I'd choose the blessings because that's much better. But really what's happened is the Israelites have chosen the other. They've chosen death and they've chosen curses. It's like, seriously? But look at that. It said, you know, all of heaven, right? This day I called heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you these options. You can either have life or you can have death. You choose. It's up to you. God is not going to force you one way or the other. You get to choose. I think that's pretty powerful. That God has given us the ability to choose whether we serve Him or not. And I think that's really what makes things different in the realm of Christianity versus other religions, is because some religions, they force you. You have to believe this or you're going to die, you're going to go to prison. Christianity isn't about that. Yes, Christianity knows that there's other religions out there, and you have the option to be able to choose those. But it's your choice to choose that. And for back in the days of the knights, what were they called? The Templar Knights, yeah. And the Crusaders, they would go through, either be Christian or die. Okay, I'm Christian. You know, give up Muslim or die. Okay, I'll give up Muslim. You know, and it's like, seriously? That is not being Christian. And yet, there's been a lot of push for that sort of thing. And it's not what it is. Because right here is God is saying, you get to choose. You get to choose. So as we read on, God says, this would be the proper thing to do. All right. So He's giving you the two options. And here's the one that He wants you to choose, right? Now choose life. That's the one that God wants you to choose. So that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice. That kind of goes back to the Proverbs thing, doesn't it? Right? His instructions and His knowledge. And hold fast to Him. That hold fast to Him means that you choose life, you choose God, for the rest of your life. While we're here on this earth. Well, you know, forever. Yeah, I know, but it's like thinking, you know, just from now, it's like on the rest of this earth here, and then there's that bringing up into heaven with God forever in that eternity, you know? And it's like, this is what God is saying. For the Lord is your life, which means you are nothing without Him. You can try to be something. You can try to be rich. You can try to find the biggest opulence out there. You can try to, you know, make the most of whatever it is out of your life. But you're really nothing without God. And he says here, in Old Testament stuff, he will give you many years in the land that he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? The New Testament, the promises are the future with God forever in heaven sort of thing. It's not always about that you're always going to be bountiful and stuff. That was the Old Testament stuff that was set up in there. But this is what God is instructing you to do if you want life. Two paths. He doesn't say there's 67 different paths that are out there. There's two. One leads to life. One leads to death. Which one do you want to choose? Which one are you ready to accept? And some people say, well, that's not for me. And it's like, wait a minute. God is saying there's two paths. Just because you don't believe in God doesn't mean there isn't two paths. Does that make sense? All right, so that's what we've got. So let's look at some more here that we've got here. In Ezekiel, in 18:32, he says, "For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live." And he's talking to the Israelites who have chosen that path of death, that path of curses. What is that? How could the Israelites do that? Well, they chose to start worshiping false idols. They chose not to worship God with their heart. They chose to worship the things of this world, so they might be rich and, you know, feel good about it and sort of thing. They chose to deny God. And God says, I don't take any pleasure in that. That when someone turns away from Him or doesn't accept Him, He takes no pleasure in that. For the death of anyone. That means there's people that go to hell, and God says, "Aha! I told you, now you're going to just laugh at it. You going right to hell." God is not that way. I think it puts a tear in His eye when people don't choose Him and they choose death. And that's the type of God that I worship. What are you going to say, Tom?
God loves all sinners, non-sinners.
He does love us all.
Yeah,
right. But only those who accept Him as Lord and Savior are called the children of God. Yeah. And those that don't accept Him, though He loves them, they've taken that path. Yeah.
So the biggest sin is unbelief.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So it is, you know, that aspect of unbelief. But even still, in this case here, where we're talking about the Old Testament, the Israelites, they knew their God. But yet they still chose not to serve Him. That's the hard part. Right? And it was unique. And so it was different in the sense that if their leaders were corrupt, the people were corrupt because they didn't have the Holy Spirit given to the hearts of those that were believers. You know, that wasn't passed out. And it's hard for us to understand that because without the Holy Spirit, we can't really do anything. You know, we're weird in that sense. And the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit gives us strength. The Holy Spirit, you know, puts things into our minds and in our spirit to do things. And then we should be obedient to do those things. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we just listen to a prophet. We listen to a king. And we have to do what they say because that's the law of the order and stuff. But look what he says here. God says he takes no pleasure in the death of anyone. So he, again, recommends to do this. Repent and live. Now that word repent it's kind of a neat word because it's not just giving up stuff, you know, the bad things you're doing. So you feel like, you know, if you're into pornography, giving up pornography, you know, it's not just about just giving that up. We talked about alcohol. We talked about, you know, overdosing and drugs here today. Those things. It's not just about giving those things up. What it is giving those things up and turning to God to refill those areas that the drugs or the other things have pulled us away from God. Turn to God. Right? Choose life. And God keeps repeating that aspect that's right over in here because that's what He wants you to do. That's what He recommends you to choose because that is what will bring life eternal. Now we can maybe process all of that in our heads, but why does it seem so hard to do it? Why does it seem so hard to kind of live that out as we have it here?
We got a tormentor.
We've got somebody there, and we've got the world that just keeps telling us something different. Yeah, and we struggle sometimes with that. No, Tom is right. You know, and it's crazy how much we are filled from the radio, from television, you know, from media, all about this world, this world, this world, this world, and not always about God. Well, repent and live. Well, here's a situation where the next verse we're going to be looking at is Joshua at the end of his reign. So he was with Moses during the time they were walking the 40 years in the desert and stuff. And then after Moses died, Joshua was now in charge of the nation. It was Joshua that brought the people into the promised land. Right? Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. And Joshua followed the demands of God in terms of how they were going to divide the land up and where they were going to go. It's kind of a neat story to see an individual coming out of that desert and really obeying God in a very strong and obedient way. Well, at the end of his time, he's getting old, and he talks to the people. And he tells them this very thing here in Joshua 24:14. And he tells them, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness." Right? With your heart. Everything that you can. Again, here's an individual that's been close to the Lord, as Moses was close to the Lord, Abraham was close to the Lord. And he's giving his recommendation. He says, "Throw away the gods of your forefathers' worship beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord." Right? Does he say, he's not, well, let me put it this way. He is telling you there's only one individual to worship, and that's the Lord God. Right? Everything else means nothing. Then he says this, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you," you want the wealth, you want the fame, you want recognition, you want the things that the world can offer you, then go ahead for those things. So then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But choose. Today, make your choice. Seriously. Why delay? Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve something else. Just be upfront with it. Quit, you know, making yourself look good by, you know, being on both sides of the fence. Just be on one side. And he's telling you, choose. And then he says this about himself and his household. He says, "But as for me and my household," right? From all the experience that I've had working with you individuals and walking with Moses and seeing all those great things that God has done, we will serve the Lord. Right? So he's bold in the sense that he, Joshua, and his family will serve the Lord and not serve any of those other gods that are out there. He's going to make that a priority in his life. Make a choice. Stop meandering around in this world. Either you serve or you don't. Either you want life or you want death. What's it going to be? It's simple, but yet really kind of hard in a way. Because that life change, like I was telling the kids about, those people in those opal mines, they don't live the life we live. They live a completely different life. Underground, all day long, by their own choice. Right? And it's just weird to be able to do that. And then we get into some New Testament stuff here. And I like this when in John 15:16. And this is that chapter where they're talking about staying abiding in the vine and that you can do nothing if you're not attached to the vine and everything. In this section here, it says this. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Now, if we stop right there, that's kind of a neat. And I remember there was a woman, it was on television, and there was like a newscaster that was interviewing her if something had happened. And she says, "Yeah, I'm Christian because I chose..." Wait, no, God chose me. And she changed that, right? Mid-sentence. And it really struck me. I mean, I've heard this before, you know? But it's to that point where she made that statement that it's not me choosing God, but it's God choosing me. And if that makes any difference to you, God loves you so much, right, that He chose you to be able to be His son or daughter. And that's really cool. And so that, right, so He chose us. And it pointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last forever. Well, what is that fruit? We talk about works, really, is what it is. Well, what works are the ones that last forever? Is it paint? That's it. That's the stuff that God wants us to do. Is it building a big church? Well, not the church itself, right? We are the church. And if it's one of those things where we build the church and we have this huge, you know, platform that comes off on the left side and swivels out, and there's the chorus that's up there, and everybody's like, "Oh my gosh, look at that church! You know, they got the best choir out there," and it's like, we come to hear the choir. No, you should come to be in the presence of God, right? And that's what you're looking at being able to do. So the fruit has to be incorporated and integrated with God. Not just about doing things. Now, if it's laid on your heart to do something, like it's been laid on the heart of Terry to work with the youth and stuff, right? There will be fruit. And you heard about that fruit today in a very powerful way. Right? That is what God is talking about right here. And He says, God has chosen us to be His instrument. So the gospel can be spread. And we think it's just by words. But guess what? It's mostly done by how we live. Right? And the things that we do and how we respond to things. And He says, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Yes, because if you are in alignment with God, anything you ask will be in alignment with God. But if you're out of alignment with God, you're asking for things that are not within God's will. So it's like, no, you're not going to get that stuff. Right? And it's just the way that kind of works. So that's part of the life that we have and the connection that we have with God. So look at this aspect here in terms of what it talks about, like the kingdom of heaven and the treasure that's there. In these two sections here, in Matthew 13:44-46, says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field." Right? He gave up everything for that one particular treasure. He sold everything he had, right? That just means everything. Probably his house, his Mercedes, right? The 7-year-old, what do they have, 86-inch television screens and stuff like that now in the homes and stuff like that? He sold that. Seriously, how do you do that? Because he found something that was more precious than anything that he had. And then you look at over here, the next one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. We can even say opals, right? And when he found one of great value, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. Because that one thing was most precious. All right, we're not talking about opals. We're not talking about gold, you know, in a chest and stuff like that. What we're talking about is finding God. You see, when you find God, the things that you have really don't amount to anything. It don't mean anything. Yeah, you need clothing. Yes, you need a house. Yes, you need transportation. But that's not your focus in life. Your focus in life is serving God. And you are willing to give up everything to be able to spend a life serving Him. And what's really neat, that is, as a person that I find, you know, their testimonies are pretty rewarding and stuff, is that as a kid, you know, 13, 19 years old, whatever, they find God, and for the rest of their life, however long they live, say they live to 90, they've spent their whole life serving God. That's pretty cool. Or we get another individual that hasn't served their entire life to God, and then 10 days before they die, they do accept God. Now, both go to heaven. But there's something special about being able to serve your life for God while you're alive. And think about all the time that an individual might have wasted not being able to serve the Lord because they didn't worship God. And there's a certain mourning process that goes on that, oh, if I had accepted Christ when I was younger, how different my life would be today.
What you would have been spared from.
Yes, yeah. Some of the grief and the sorrow and the sicknesses and stuff that we go through and the body ailments. Yeah. And the turmoil that you put your parents through and all that stuff. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. But you know what? God is calling you now. While you still have life on this earth, He wants you to have life eternal. And we're looking at this whole thing. It's like, it's that much. You know, that if you can imagine an individual changing their life to find that perfect opal, that black opal that's going to make their life all different. Can you imagine dedicating your life and changing your life to find that one perfect relationship with God? And how different that would be. And how special that is. Let's go to this one here. In Revelation chapter 2, it talks about in the church of Ephesus. And there's some compliments that this angel comes and speaks to God, or speaks to John. And John's relating this information down in the book of Revelation. And there's 7 different churches. Each one of them has a different response from the angel. And this one here in particular from Ephesus, it says this in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Now this is to the church of Ephesus, right? And he says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent. Oh, where did we hear that before? Repent and live, that, you know, it was talking before. Repent and do the things you did first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Well, that's pretty serious words. When he's talking about you've forsaken your first love. You know, it's kind of like when you come to Christ, you're on fire in a way because your life is experiencing something beautiful, something rich that never experienced before. Sometimes it's a hard containing that in. I get that, right?
Yeah.
But it's And Loretta still has that problem. Which is beautiful, because she hasn't lost her first love, really. But you know what happens with life? Is that all of a sudden it starts to become a drudgery again. And you start looking at the world, or as Peter's case, starts looking at the water and the waves and the wind, right? And you're taking your eyes off Christ. And sometimes what we do is we worry more about the church program. We worry more about how things look in the church, how I look and how I'm presenting myself, versus spending time with God. Because you see, that's your first love, and that's what God wants to be on fire all the time. Never ever lose that. That desire to know God and to grow in His love and in His knowledge and in His wisdom and in His presence. That's what we need to be seeking as Christians all the time. But yet sometimes we don't. There's Christian groups that are out there with, picket signs and stuff out there that's more important to them than to do stuff. Or, there's some tough Christians too that have a weird mindset of what it means to be Christian, because their relationship with God is not really close. It's more of a worldly, religious walk with them. And God says, no. If you want to live, then you need to take my instruction, have my knowledge. Everything else is death and curses. That's there. Here we have an individual that, in the next verse that we're going to go to, is that it's talking about the wedding banquet. And there's the story basically goes, a kind of the parable sort of thing, is that people that are called to come don't come because they're too busy. So basically God says, go out there and get anybody to come, into the banquet. I've got all this banquet stuff, it needs to be given out. I want the house full. Get those people to come in. Really, it's like, just get others. It doesn't matter. You don't need to get the rich people to become Christian. I mean, they should be Christian. But it's the poor, it's the ones that are hungry too, that need Christ. All of those. Get anybody to come into the banquet hall. And then there's this one situation where someone's there that's not dressed like everybody else. And look at this section here. It says, did I miss it? Or jump it? What happened to it? Matthew 22, where's that? Oh, maybe the... Oh, yeah, so this is that section there. And what happens is there's an individual that's not dressed like everyone else, and that individual the master comes in and says, how did you get in without the proper clothing? And so he said, bind this guy up, take him out, send him out. He doesn't belong in this group. And it really is, he's not a believer in God, and that's really what it comes down to, that we're clothed with the Holy Spirit, and if you don't have that clothing, you can't come. Right? It's all based upon the choice that people make in terms of whether they accept God or not. And we look at this here in Matthew 22, verse 14. He says, for many are invited, but few are chosen. God loves, as Tom was saying, God loves everyone, but not everyone's hearts are there to be able to be to accept God. Which is sad. And it looks like it's on the smaller end of those that actually choose God. So just making someone Christian by forcing them to come to church, forcing them to, a nation to be Christian, doesn't make you Christian. That's an individual choice that we have to have. Regardless of the country that you live in. There's Christians in China. Oh my gosh. Yeah, and there's Christians in Muslim countries. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's hard on them. It's not, they're not living like we are living, because it's difficult to do that sort of thing. But few are chosen. And then to think of us as being chosen in Harrisville or the surrounding area. God has chosen us. He's called us and we're chosen. Because we have answered the call by saying, yes, Jesus is Lord, my Lord and Savior. So we look at that, and then it says in Hebrews 4:7, the author of Hebrews is reaching out to an individual that have accepted Christ, but yet are thinking about going back to Judaism because of the toughness of the persecution of being a Christian. And he says this to them, it's Old Testament stuff. He says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't push God away. As much as it cringes sometimes of God to come into your heart and clean house in there, let him do it. You need God in your life.
Amen.
I need God in my life. And the idea is that if we reject God, that means we're choosing that path of death. And that leads to hell. Eternal damnation. And that is not what God wants you to choose. Plain and simple. Actually, God makes it pretty clear what He wants. Right? And this whole area is like, so this is not just a message about salvation, because the next verse is really what it's about. Salvation is the first step. I mean, it's the biggest step. It's the step we need to make. But then what do you do after salvation? What do you do? Well, in 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Every one of you, and Fern has said this before, every one of you has a ministry. Am I correct, Fern? Yeah, she says, you betcha. And she said that a long time ago, and certain things people will say, it will stick in my mind, and I'll bring it out from time to time. And it's like, every one of you has a ministry. God has blessed you with specific gifts, specific contacts with individuals that others don't have, that you, for some reason, have been given those gifts. Not just so that people look at you and say, oh, that's a great person, look at them, what they're doing. No, it's so that you can administer God's grace. You can do His work. And yet so many times we'll accept Christ and say, oh, that's good enough. I've accepted Christ. That's all I have to do. No.
You got turned left on that narrow road.
Yeah, the one that's less traveled. That's right. And the one that seems hard. Tim and I went snowshoeing. Was it yesterday? Yeah. And we went over to Lamson Falls, and as you go into Lamson Falls, it's like a mile in, so we're snowshoeing, and there's a track that's about this wide, and Tim's like, this is a little wide for my snowshoes. And it really was. It could have been another foot wider would have been easier. But as soon as we got to the falls, that was really nice. But you know what we did? We went beyond the falls. We started walking on. So we're making our own trek. And Tim was like, I don't understand how it can take like an hour and a half to get out there, and then we came back on the same trail, and it was 20 minutes coming back. Right? Because we're sinking into the ground, into the snow, this much, you know, with our snowshoes. And then Tim's like 250 or something like that. This guy is just like muscle. And he goes down, I'm making the trail for this time, right? I'm making the trail, and Tim will come through, and poof, he'll go right down to his knee. He says, I thought you were packing the snow. And I'm like, I thought I was too. And it's like, yeah, and it's like, I have to like pull him out, and it's like there's times I've gone down because you're walking on top of the trees that have been, you know, the brushes and stuff that are down. You don't. It looks like a path, you know, and it's like just go right through that. But it's a tough path to go through. But that's really what it does. It says here in Scripture too. It says if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Wow. Yeah, I saw that look, Rogi. She says, me? But it's true. Every word that you have, every compliment you have, should be the words of God. And it's like, how many times do we speak? And then you think, well, I probably shouldn't have said that. How many times have we put something on Facebook right? And it's like, ooh. How many times have we written a letter or something like that? And it's really hard to do that sort of thing. But just think about that. Everything that you do, everything you're speaking about, should be as if you're speaking the words of God. Now you're going to say, well, no, that's pastor's job. No, that's everybody's job. Everyone's. So you see, when you make that choice to serve God, you're making that choice to serve Him the way He wants you to serve, not the way you want to serve Him. And that's what they talk about, surrendering your will to God. It's very important to do that sort of thing. Because when you do surrender your will and you accept the will of God, then you really can be doing God's thing, because you're out of the way and God is the way into the things that we're doing here. And so that when we are speaking, when we're giving words of encouragement, or even when we're talking to someone, let's say a teller at the grocery store, we can give words of encouragement. It's what God wants us to do. I remember asking someone at school, I said, oh, I like your necklace. You know, it's got a cross on it. You know, that's nice. You know what the cross means? No, it just looks nice. I said, do you want to know what the cross is? Yeah, what's it mean? And I talked about Christ. You know, those are some of the things. So that when they wear that, now they know what that means, what they're trying to do. So, Loretta, you were going to say something?
The whole sermon is so sad across the world, in the United States, and that's what I know. There's such a lie that is accepted by everyone, so much of the world, that just because they believe in God, I know there's a God. Oh yes, I know there's God. That's not.
No.
That's not enough.
No, because even the demons recognize who God is. Yeah.
Yeah. Believe in God. It's not because you know there's a God. Oh yes, you know there's God. Oh yeah, you believe in God. That's such a lie.
Right.
We accept
this. Yep, very much so. And it says here that if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Right? So it's not about by your own strength that you can live a godly life. It's by having God in your life giving you the strength to be able to do that. Are you living that way? Are you trusting God for all the things that you have in your life? Things that you want. Fern, did you want to share some?
I know there's been times like when things would be happening in my life and I would want to clear it up with my words.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord would speak to me right away and he'd say, no, I would clear it up. And so it's so rewarding to step back and let God do it.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing how He'll bring things together that you wouldn't even think of and make it work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've learned, you know, when I first came, started going back to church, and I would call her the problem, she always said, take it from the Lord. And now, boy, I'm telling you, that means so much. I have a problem. Now I say, you take it to the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
I'll never forget that, Vern.
Good.
You got me on the right track.
She also said once, just leave it alone. Just give it some time and leave it alone.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing once you do that, what God's doing in between.
Sure.
You know, so just leave it alone when you're upset or whatever it is.
Don't worry about all of life.
See, all that
wisdom. Right. Yeah. No, it's...
Don't worry about tomorrow. Take care of yourself. After I keep telling myself,
oh my God. And the whole point of this is that our lives are to do this very last sentence in here. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Right, we do things for God, and we are His son, His daughter, His servants, if you want to call it that, even.
His body.
Yeah, Yeah. Yeah. His church and stuff, and we're to do these things. And so our lives reciprocates what God is like. And if your life is not reciprocating what God is like, then that really means that there's parts of you that maybe you haven't surrendered to God in areas that you really need to. Some of us, it's, you know, it's a small amount of stuff. Maybe other people, it's like, how am I going to do that? Well, you're not going to do it on your own, I'll tell you that. You're going to do it under the strength of God. And under His direction, you'll be able to do what you need to do. And it's real important to realize that the beginning stages of this is that you need to make a choice. Do you want to choose life, or do you want to choose death? If you want life, you choose God. If you don't want to choose God, you get the other one, which is death, destruction. And all the things you do will lead to that destruction. Everything will lead to that. So you come to a point. God says today, do not harden your hearts if you hear the voice of God. We don't know how much time we have. You know, sometimes you're like, Fern, she's over 62. And she doesn't know how much longer she has. All right? I am 62, and I don't know how much time I have. The youth, they don't know how much time they have. Today really is the day. It's not just to it's to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. I get that. But for, like Tom said, most of us, I believe, are Christians in here. If not, this is a good message for you. But if you are a Christian, God wants you to walk closer with Him. I don't care how close you're walking with Him right now. He wants you to walk closer. Well, how close can you walk with God and, you know, not die? Well, I don't... Enoch, he was just taken with God. Elijah, you know, he was just taken up in a whirlwind. Those two individuals never died. You know, maybe God can do that for as close as we can get to Him. Maybe He'll just take us. I don't know. Yep, that's right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But the idea is that as a Christian, as a believer, the way you live your life is very important to God. That it needs to reflect God's character in all that you do. All the things you say, all the things you do out in public, and especially all those things you do in private. And those are the hard times, because we like to have God here, but I also want my life here. And everybody struggles with that. Everybody has that sort of aspect in there. But in every aspect, you get to choose. Am I going to serve God today? Am I going to serve Him tomorrow? Well, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. Today's the day that God wants you to serve Him. Amen? All right, so Father, I thank You for this word here today. But I also want to put it out there that if there is anybody out here that has not accepted Christ, make that choice of life. Be drawn to Him, because He is good. I don't care what your past is like. It does not matter. Nobody is good enough to be God's friend, but just on their own. God chooses you. He calls you. You have an opportunity in which to respond to that call. And I'll guarantee you that God will put you on a path that is in an area that will just bless you in so many ways. It'll be different than probably your worldly life, but it'll be a blessing. And it'll be a blessing to those around you. Make that choice. Don't wait. and trust God with all your heart, and He will not let you down. And if there's anybody here that's, you know, as a believer, you know, is like that, where you've lost your first love, come back to that. Come back to the beginning of your relationship with God. Trust Him. Start turning things over to God instead of doing stuff yourself. And I think you'll find a greater peace in your life. I know you will. You'll find you'll have patience. You'll find you'll have self-control. You'll find the things of this world just don't seem to bother you like they used to. Because your trust is not in our governments or in the people around us. Our trust is in God. And how special that is. Make that choice today. To accept His will more and more every day. We give you this, Lord, 100%. And all of it is through your Son, Jesus. Amen.